Welcome to the final Issue Is podcast for 2024. What a year 2024 has been. A historic moment in our political history that will be studied for many, many years to come. We have witnessed all of it together. Thank you to everybody who's been on this ride with us. In years past, we always had done a little bit of a best of show at the end of the year, but never made it the full episode. But this year, there was so much and such big stories. Just the presidential race itself was so big, and we were so lucky to be such a part of it, especially to have a Californian running and being at the conventions and really kind of covering it in a different way than certainly we were able to in 2020 during the pandemic, that we wanted to dedicate a full episode to this. We have a few different parts. Part one of this week's show is looking back at the 2024 presidential race. Part two is some of the other big races in California, the Senate race, what happened in Congress, Prop 36, and sort of looking forward there. We have a segment dedicated to the wisdom that we've gained over the years on some of these longer, in-depth sit-downs where we kind of go beyond the politics and the talking points and get more to takeaways that hopefully will help your life. They certainly help mine. And then finally, part four of this episode is the fun we've had and some of the very funny lines that people have delivered on this show. So I hope you enjoy looking back. This is the audio version. If you want the video version, that's also available on my YouTube page where you can see all this. You know, it's going to be moving pretty quickly, but there's a lot to get in. So thank you for listening to The Issue Is this year, and I hope you enjoy this look back and look forward.
Mr. President, let's talk about California.
This week, the biggest stories of the year around the country.
Do you think that the country can survive a second Trump presidency?
And in California.
What do you say to people that we spent $24 billion on homelessness and the problem's gotten worse?
Plus, some of the wisdom we've learned.
Keep friendship in your voice, but know who your friends are.
And the fun we've had.
What do you make the state of California?
I mean, I wouldn't say we're undertaxed.
Broadcasting across California, you're watching The Issue Is.
And welcome to The Issue Is. I'm Alex Michelson. This week, a look back at how we covered a wild, unprecedented, and unforgettable year in politics and the lessons we can learn from it. We begin with the biggest story of all, the presidential campaign.
This is the official plane of the Vice President, Air Force Two, and we're hitching a ride on the way to San Jose.
We join Vice President Kamala Harris on her National Reproductive Freedom Tour.
Do you think that the country can survive a second Trump presidency?
We are looking at a former president who has openly said he would weaponize the Department of Justice.
The state of California is a mess.
We talked to Donald Trump at his golf club in Rancho Palos Verdes.
What would the nature of your relationship be with the leaders of California who you're calling scum?
Well, I would have a great relationship with them. And what you have to do is start all over again.
The year begins, though, with the Republican primary and Nikki Haley taking on her old boss, Donald Trump.
He's never once talked about the American people. That should send a chill up everyone's spine.
All that being said, is he still better than Joe Biden?
Well, I think at the end of the day, we know that we don't want to have a President Kamala Harris.
Who are you and why are you doing this?
We talked to Dean Phillips, the challenger to President Joe Biden in the Democratic primary.
His decline is real, and the more he's encapsulated and kept from the public, the more people are going to realize they'd rather side with a strong man who lacks character and competency than a man in decline.
In the end, voters nominate Biden and Trump despite their historically low poll numbers.
I would call it a show.
Their concerns about Trump's character.
He's a liar, pants on fire kind of guy.
Still, Trump's criminal convictions seem to help him politically.
We're seeing a politicization of our Department of Justice.
There's growing bipartisan concerns about the president's age.
86% of the country believes that Joe Biden is too old to run for president. Why are they wrong?
Look, maybe it's because they don't see the Joe Biden that I see.
It would behoove him to get out there more, to talk more, because I think the less you talk, the higher the stakes are when you do.
Are you worried that he may be perceived as old and weak and not in control?
Well, I think the chaos is, to your point, something that people vote against.
Robert F. Kennedy Jr. leaves the Democrats to run as a third-party candidate.
Why do you want to be vice president?
We do the first interview with his VP pick, Nicole Shanahan.
Are there any vaccines that you think should be mandated for children?
I believe in medical freedom.
Biden asked for the earliest ever presidential debate, one-on-one with Trump, on CNN.
We finally beat Medicare.
Well, he's right. He did beat Medicare. He beat it to death.
It doesn't go well.
John, one word.
Excruciating.
Sad with an exclamation point.
It's like in the old cowboy movies, choose your weapons. Biden didn't choose any weapon.
I think it's chaos in the Democratic group text tonight.
The private conversation that's been happening for months about potentially replacing Joe Biden at the head of the Democratic ticket will now become very public very soon.
George Clooney, among those calling on the president to step aside from the race, while Biden's advisors publicly defend him.
Was that debate performance an aberration?
Of course it was.
I wouldn't have picked Vice President Trump to be vice president, but I think she was not qualified to be president.
It's been fairly obvious for years, even since before Joe Biden became president, that there was a cognitive problem there.
That story temporarily overshadowed by this. Former President Trump shot in the ear, the bullet just millimeters away from killing him, days before the Republican National Convention.
They can't beat him, so they're going to kill him.
He would tell me about hearing the bullet. He knows he is very fortunate to still be on this earth.
Welcome to a special edition of The Issue Is from the Republican National Convention in Milwaukee. The balloons are dropping. I'm Alex Michelson. This crowd is fired up as Donald Trump has united this party.
I'm not supposed to be here tonight. Not supposed to be here.
The hottest accessory now on the RNC floor is an ear bandage to sort of in solidarity.
Trump picks Ohio Senator J.D. Vance as his running mate.
What do you want people to know about J.D. Vance?
I think he's a good man, actually. He's a good friend, a good father.
But almost all of the attention is on Trump.
I don't blame the left for being deeply anti-Trump because he does represent the end of their world.
That fear leading Democrats to unleash an unprecedented pressure campaign on Biden to leave the race.
What they're trying to convey to President Biden is not only will you lose, but you will take down Democratic lawmakers with you.
For God's sake, new candidate. New candidate, let's try to win.
California's own Kamala Harris taking over the Democratic ticket to face off against Donald Trump.
Harris locking down the nomination in a matter of hours.
It's unprecedented, as everyone has been saying.
Biden, more than anything else, was kind of a vehicle to defeat Donald Trump. And once he ceased being that vehicle, Democrats were happy or willing to move to a different nominee.
You know, there are some critics who say that this was a coup and that it's anti-democratic for this to happen. What do you say to those critics?
Well, I think that that's stupid.
Harris has just weeks to pick a running mate, Minnesota Governor Tim Walz, and to plan a convention.
This week, the issue is the Democratic National Convention.
I accept your nomination to be president of the United States.
I've never experienced a month as momentous and earth-shaking as the one we had in politics.
Talk about the dramatic, dramatic change that we've seen in the last month and where we're at right now.
Well, you can see it behind us. I'll give you a number, though. When Joe Biden was in the race after that terrible debate he had in Atlanta, 33% of Democrats said they were satisfied with their nominee, Joe Biden. Now, it's 88%.
She's groomed me and many women.
California Comptroller Malia Cohen, among a generation of California elected officials, mentored by Harris.
She has poured wisdom, time, energy.
Still, Harris rarely mentions California at the convention.
On one night, the California Democratic Party is celebrating her as the daughter of California. The next day, she gets up and, you know, she says, I grew up in, you know, the Bay.
A video.
The Bay. She wouldn't even say Oakland or Berkeley. Say our name, Oakland, Berkeley. You take the money, but say our name.
Donald Trump has no plan for you.
Harris landing some punches on the debate stage.
Kamala Harris says, here's my plan for small business, for housing, for prescription drugs. Donald Trump says, immigrants are eating dogs and cats.
Trump raising concerns about voter fraud in California. Michael Whatley is the RNC chair.
If Jesus came down,
When Donald Trump was interviewed by Dr. Phil recently, he said that if Jesus was counting the ballots here in California, he would have won. Do you have evidence that he actually won this state, that there were 5 million more people that voted for him that weren't counted?
No.
This week, the issue is sprint to the finish.
In the final days, the race appears super tight.
The insiders think it's just as close as you're reading in the polls.
But it turns out to be not that close.
This week, the issue is Trump triumphs. The Republican nominee sweeps all 7 battleground states and even gains ground in California.
I compare him to probably what color television must have been like. When people saw color TV, you couldn't go back to black and white.
Do you think that Biden should have gotten out sooner?
Yeah, I think that's an obvious. Yeah, why did he hang on?
So what happened with Latinos specifically?
Well, they're invisible. I mean, let's be honest.
I think the Democrats just really blew it.
I would say the Democrats have become bullies. When you start calling people who are inclined to vote for him for various reasons, misogynists and racists and garbage, it is just shaming people into revolting.
Up next, some of the other big stories of the year in California, including a Senate race and a reckoning on crime.
We continue our look back at the biggest stories of the year here on The Issue Is with the race for the U.S. Senate.
We go one-on-one with Democratic Congress members Adam Schiff, Katie Porter, Barbara Lee, and Republican baseball legend Steve Garvey.
This is the showdown for U.S. Senate, and it really is the showdown for U.S. Senate.
At USC, we host the first debate, which is often the Dems ganging up on Garvey.
I needed to talk to the homeless, went up to him, and touch them and listen to them. You know what?
As somebody who's been unsheltered, I cannot believe how he described his walk and touching.
Garvey refusing to say whether he'll support Donald Trump.
What more do any of us need to see?
Actually, that was going to be my question. So
I was channeling you, Alex.
Mr. Garvey, we'll give you a minute because that's going to be your topic. Yeah.
Trying to paint me into the corner. Trying to call me MAGA.
Once a Dodger, always a Dodger.
Why are you backing Congressman Adam Schiff?
Schiff emerges as a front runner.
I want us to have the strongest possible person in the Senate.
Steve Garvey, the leading Republican.
Schiff spends millions to lift Garvey into the general election.
So we want to show people why Schiff has been doing this strategy. Here's a hypothetical matchup. Schiff, Garvey, November. Schiff starts out up 15 points. If it is Schiff versus Porter, look at this. Mm-hmm. They're tied.
How you doing tonight?
Schiff's strategy works, and he essentially wins the election on primary night and talks with us the next day.
You launched your campaign on our show. You did our first debate with us, and now your first in-person interview after this with us. So I guess we're good luck for you.
You
right?
are good luck.
What would your advice be to Steve Garvey?
It's California. So I'd be tempted to steal all the campaign money and, you know, leave town because it's mathematically very hard.
Garvey doesn't do any major campaign events for himself in the closing weeks of the general. On election night, Schiff wins big, but so does his political nemesis, Donald Trump.
Alex, I have to tell you, on election night, somebody gave me a quote from one of my favorite movies, The Big Lebowski, which kind of summarized the election this year for me. And that quote is, sometimes you eat the bear, and sometimes the bear, well, he eats you. And that seemed to be a good summary of things this year.
Which one are you in this scenario? Are you eating or being eaten?
A little of both, honestly, this election.
We have always said that the House majority is going to go through California. I think that's absolutely true.
We talked to the candidates in California's closest House races.
I mean, the biggest difference is that a Democratic House might actually get something done.
The Republican House wants to be tough on crime.
In the end, Democrats George Whitesides, Derek Tran, and Adam Gray flip seats from red to blue. But Republicans barely retain control of the House. We're with Governor Gavin Newsom as he cleans up a homeless encampment.
And what do you say to people that we spent $24 billion on homelessness and the problem's gotten worse?
I share that frustration. I want to see results. I want to physically see the streets cleaned up.
We sit down with the Democratic Speaker of the California Assembly, Robert Rivas.
You're not going to convince me that residents today are better off than they were a decade ago. And that's the problem.
There have been Democratic supermajorities, there have been Democratic governors, and if the situation's gotten worse, shouldn't there be a leadership change?
Look, and that's my focus.
One Democratic state senator switches parties.
In California, we have seen the pendulum swing so far in the areas of crime, homelessness.
Prop 47 was not perfect.
On the crime issue, we cover the effort to reform Prop 47 with Prop 36, which allows felony charges and increases sentences for certain drug and theft crimes.
This is the wrong solution.
There's a big gap between where ordinary Californians are and the political establishment in Sacramento.
Prop 36 wins by almost 37 points, despite the state's Democratic Party leadership opposing it.
If these politicians are being honest with themselves, there should be a bit of a come-to-Jesus moment. Like, where was the disconnect?
We also moderate multiple debates in the race for L.A. County District Attorney, where there's a strong push to oust incumbent George Gascon.
Do you feel safe in L.A. County right now?
You know, I do. I mean, when you look at where crime is heading.
Basically, the most extreme pro-criminal policies in L.A.D.A. history.
Discharge the duties.
In the end, Hochman wins by almost 20 points. Throughout the year, Israel's war with Hamas dominates headlines.
Israel should destroy Hamas, and I believe we should help them.
I've called for a ceasefire so that there can be a path to a political and diplomatic solution.
Protests get violent on college campuses, including UCLA.
I was absolutely shocked and horrified at the violence that I saw.
Do they have a clue what side they're putting themselves on? This is coming from somewhere. From their professors, from their colleges.
Emmanuel Acho and Noah Tishby co-write Uncomfortable Conversations with a Jew.
In America, we simplify so many things into black and white, and that's wrong.
They think Zionism means racism. They think that Zionism means imperialism. It doesn't mean any of these things.
Second gentleman Doug Emhoff leads the administration's efforts to combat anti-Semitism.
Alex, some days, especially since October 7th, I don't want to do it. It's hard, but I have to.
We meet up with Sheryl Sandberg at the Museum of Tolerance to discuss her documentary about sexual assaults by Hamas.
This is terrorism. Terrorism by people who absolutely say they want to end Israel.
When we come back, some moments of wisdom we've learned along the way.
Know who your friends are.
One of my favorite parts of working on this show is the wisdom we've learned from some of the biggest newsmakers in the country. Here are some of our favorite moments.
I consider myself almost like a maestro. It's an orchestration.
We talked to longtime House Speaker Nancy Pelosi about her book.
What is the most important thing you want people to know about the art of power?
It's about respect. And I always say, keep friendship in your voice. And treat everyone as your friend, but know who your friends are.
We visit Jon Favreau at Crooked Media's headquarters. Jon was chief speechwriter for then-President Barack Obama.
What do you think made him so exceptional as a politician?
Because he is of so many different worlds, he understands that to persuade and to move people, you have to meet them where they are. You have to try to put yourself in their shoes and then bring them along. And I think that's the most important skill in politics.
Tech journalist Kara Swisher, one of the most popular interviewers in the country.
What would you ask Kara Swisher if you were interviewing Kara Swisher?
Oh, gosh, that's a good question. You know, why is it a love story? Like, no one's asked me that. Like, why
is it a love story?
Because I love tech. The biggest and most important quote in that book is the Paul Virilio quote, where he says, you know, when you invent the ship, you invent the shipwreck. When you invent electricity, you invent electrocution, et cetera. And I really believe that's the case. And what we have to start doing is focusing on the ships and keeping the ships not from wrecking, creating lighthouses.
Baby oh, my face. Lord, that is a child.
The Daily Show's Jordan Klepper discussing his mentor, Jon Stewart.
Something he told me was like to not be afraid to lend your voice to the conversation. I think Jon was really able to say, like, you care about this. You shouldn't be afraid that there's space for you to add voice to that.
U.S. Senator LaFonza Butler.
LaFonza Butler is the first U.S. senator to visit Project Angel Food, and she's quickly put to work volunteering next to me.
I have tried to live my life in service, Alex. When I was on the board of the Children's Defense Fund, Marion Wright Edelman said to me that service is the rent we pay for living.
What's your bottom line message to people that are watching this?
Pay your rent. Pay your rent.
Frank Luntz has advised some of the biggest names in politics, but says his most fulfilling job is teaching West Point cadets.
Everything that they do, everything that's in their code of conduct,
is something I wish our president would take in addition to the oath of office. They cannot lie, they cannot cheat, they cannot steal.
Father Greg Boyle created the world's largest gang intervention program, Homeboy Industries, giving jobs to healed gang members.
How do you define love?
Well, for us, love here is tenderness. You know, tenderness and the cherishing of another is really, you know, is love with its sleeves rolled up. It's delighting in the person in front of you and valuing everything that this person is.
I used to read Word Up magazine.
Democratic Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries is a huge rap fan.
What is your favorite rap lyric of all time?
There's a lyric from the Wu-Tang Clan, which has always stuck with me. We've got stick-up kids, corrupt cops, and crack rocks, and stray shots, all on the block that stays hot. But leave it up to me, and I'll be living truth, to kick the truth to the young black youth. Shorty's wondering why I'm smoking sesh, drinking beer, and ain't trying to hear what I'm kicking in his ear. Neglected for now, but yo, it's got to be accepted that what, that life is hectic. Mm. And I always thought that that was just such a powerful encapsulation of like tough inner city life, and also the hope that, you know, you can pass along the roughness of the journey to someone young. Wu-Tang Clan.
Up next, some of the funniest moments of the year on The Issue Is.
Bring him on my show. Bring him on my show.
Politics is serious business, but we don't take ourselves too seriously here on The Issue Is. Here's a look at some of the funniest moments of the year. What do you make the state of California?
I mean, I wouldn't say we're undertaxed.
It's been a long time. I think it's been
over a year
since you've been here on The Issue.
I didn't know what happened. Was it my deodorant or what?
Politics is addictive because it's exciting. It's a kind of psychic cocaine.
We won't even get into the 70s when there were some real cocaine highs happening. I don't know if that happened with you.
We saw your video where you pretended to be a Dodger fan.
San Francisco, look away. But this year, go Dodgers.
I thought that was an AI. I was almost, no, that wasn't easy. Come on.
But the signature room is the Oval Office, full of photos of Frank with presidents and a bed that now serves as a guest room for Frank's friends.
I wanted to say to my friends, you can sleep in the White House and you don't have to be an intern.
By the way, he's fantastic.
Yeah. Well, he's cute, too.
No, but he always... Excuse me. I mean, what am I, chopped liver all of a sudden?
My favorite clip from one of your shows ever.
Mm-hmm. Look closer, you're going to see a lot of cameras out there. And that's the mainstream media. Don't trust anybody who's talking to a camera.
Don't trust anybody.
My lord, yes.
Camera.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. We're going to get a preview of the Obama speech from you.
Well, let me just say, Alex, it is great to be with you.
President Trump has also made a surprise appearance here to respond in real time to the Democratic convention. Mr. President.
Just shut your mouth and stop talking.
We
Katie
look like
will join us as well.
We?
Oh my God, my dream is finally happening. You want to throw it a break then, Katie?
Yes.
We'll be right back. First, you're watching Today on NBC.
Rusty.
I don't know. What are we
we'll
doing?
We'll be right back.
Love her. Katie's welcome back anytime if she wants to do it again. We especially love our behind-the-scenes crew here that makes this show possible week after week. The biggest shout-out to our editor and co-executive producer, Debbie Kim, the MVP of our team. And we are so grateful for all of your support all year long as well. Thank you so much for watching The Issue Is. We'll see you next year. Again, thank you so much for watching The Issue Is. This year has been so much fun and tiring and interesting and all of the above. Next year is going to be quite something, too. Starting off our year with an interview with Bill Maher, which is going to be great. And then we'll be reporting for 2 weeks from Washington at the inauguration, which is going to be really interesting as well. Something to look forward to next year. Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, Happy Holidays, Happy New Year, all the things. Thank you so much for watching The Issue Is. We really, really appreciate it and look forward to doing more in the new year.